Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christa Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christa Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. As we celebrate this sixth Sunday of Easter time, the Easter season, we continue to open our hearts to the risen Lord. Our faith is a living faith in a living God who lives among us, and as we hear today in the gospel, lives within each one of us. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came to call sinners.
Christ, have mercy.
You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and that what we relive in remembrance, we may always hold to in what we do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter they delivered by them. The apostles and the elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Nations be glad and shout for joy. With a brightness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God still give us his blessing, that all the ends of the earth may revere him.
A reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates, where 12 angels were stationed, and on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, once again, to each one of you. A very good priest, a friend of mine in the Diocese of Victoria, is in the process of leaving this earth, returning to his Father in heaven. I say he's a young pastor because I was a spiritual director in the seminary, so he has to be a bit younger than I am. But someone, I guess, posted a talk that he gave last week where he sat in his parish church with oxygen and sitting in a chair in front of the altar, and he spoke to his people. And he left them a message. They've been traveling with him, journeying with him over these last couple of years with his medical problems, in and out of MD Anderson Hospital, and seeing him go through so many things. But he wanted to give them kind of a last will and testament. And that's what we have received from Jesus again today, where he at the Last Supper, this account of chapter 14 is prior to his passion, death, and resurrection, Jesus sits down with his apostles, his disciples, to tell them what he wants to leave them. And as we, as Christian men and women, as we journey with our life, we are constantly at the feet of the Lord. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," as the prophet Samuel said when he thought he heard the Lord's voice. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Many of us go through life saying, "Speak, speak, speak, because I need help, I need help, I need speak, speak." We forget that other part. Because your servant is listening. And that listening that is required of us is a listening of an open heart, that what we understand, what we hear from Jesus in his word, may go contrary against what we think is right. "Listen, Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Not "speak, Lord, and I'll see if I'll open the door or not." The door is open. And in these this last discourse in the chapter 14, Jesus leaves his disciples with three things that are most important that he wants to give us. And he says, as you can imagine from the tension of that last night with his disciples, he leaves them something that is kind of a qualifying factor of their relationship with him. If you love me, keep my word. If you love me, keep my word. Because the word is not from me, Jesus is saying, it's from the Father. And he has sent me as the incarnate word, the word made flesh, to speak to you. Keep my word. This week I received a letter from a very good friend of mine who is at the point in life going through his things and sorting out what to keep and what not to keep. And he came across a letter from his father, of his father's, written to Bishop Byrne in Houston in 1945. And the letter was not his father's letter, obvious. It was a letter back from Bishop Byrne. And he wanted to share it with a few of us. And he gave it to me. And Bishop Byrne wrote back and said, "Dear sir, thank you for your letter and the blunder it includes. Number one, I didn't know how a Byrne could become a Gallagher." Obviously, he wrote, "Dear Bishop Gallagher." But he said, "It helped me to remember that the 35 years of dedicated and hard service that Bishop Gallagher had given to this diocese are well remembered by the people of God. And so we are grateful in the church in Texas for Bishop Gallagher's 35 years. And secondly, after 27 years of hard service on my part, I'm a bit amazed that my name is still Gallagher and not Byrne." Those are kind of comical letters that we tend to keep. We store away. And at a certain point in our life, we come and we say, well, we either throw them away or we pass them along. Keepsakes. That's not what Jesus meant when he said, "Keep my word." And yet, if many of us are honest with ourselves, day after day, we keep the word of Jesus in that way. We put it away in the drawers of our minds or the closets of our hearts. And we may pull it out if we need it, if we're in need. But that's not what Jesus means when he says, "Keep my word." He means let it burn in your life. Let it direct your life. Let it convert you. Let it change your heart and your mind. Remember that scene after the resurrection as Jesus is on the road and he comes across the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And as he begins to speak his word again, as he begins to explain all of these things, they said, "Were not our hearts burning as he spoke to us?" Letters put in a drawer, the word of God stored in the closet of our heart for safekeeping, do not burn in our lives. The active, alive word of God burns. And the book of Hebrews presents that so beautifully when it says the word of God is alive and active. It cuts into the depths of our hearts. It opens our hearts to God's word. And that's the kind of keeping that Jesus means. To keep the word of God in front of our face at all times, especially the word of love of God and love of neighbor. In that keeping his word alive, God lives in us. And that's what he tells his disciples as well. If you keep my word, if you love me and keep my word, the Father and I will live in you. In our world today, we don't have that kind of sensitivity to the spiritual, although we should, but it has to be cultivated through prayer and time and love of God. St. Teresa of Avila writes many pages about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Trinity in our lives, that God is present in our lives as long as he's not behind some closed door in our minds, but that his word is alive and active. The second thing Jesus tells his disciples is what he again reaffirms later after his resurrection, is that he wants to give us the gift of peace. As we begin Mass, peace be with you. As we offer each other the sign of peace, it is not just a how are you this morning, how's it going over there across the cathedral. It's something much, much, much deeper. If you can imagine those early Christians gathered in the tension of persecution, what's next? As they were facing the difficulties of their new life that they had chosen through baptism, they were to offer each other a sign of peace, which means remember, remember, he's with us. Remember, he's alive in us. Be at peace. Be at peace. The sign of peace, which has been a part of the church from almost the beginning, was a sign that Jesus is victorious over our problems. And so it was not a peace of the externals around us. It was not a promise that everything's going to go cool, because Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. So he wasn't promising a tranquil existence, at least externally. But what he was promising with his presence in us, that there would be a tranquility of spirit, a tranquility of life from the inside. That's the peace that Jesus offered to the disciples and offers us today. As we offer each other the sign of peace, it is saying that in a confused world, in a world where each one of us have problems, difficulties that we have to face day after day, whether it's through decision making, whether it is in arguing with opponents, whether it is in difficulties in a family, the rock is Jesus Christ in our life. As St. John in the book of Revelation says, I saw the heavenly Jerusalem, and I saw no temple, because the Lord was the temple. The Lord Jesus is the temple. And it's that temple living alive in us that offers us that interior peace, so that we can, with his word, confront the difficulties that face us every day. And finally, he reminds us again today as we prepare in a couple of weeks for the Feast of Pentecost that I will send you the Holy Spirit. If I return to the Father, you will be left, but I will not leave you alone, because the Holy Spirit will be given to you. We set out as we leave our worship every Sunday with renewed vision of the Word of God, renewed strength in the love of Jesus through the Eucharist, to confront and face the world in front of us. But how do we keep that Word out of the closet in our life? How do we keep it fresh? How does the life of Jesus become more activated each day in every situation? It's through the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, he will remind you of all that I told you. He will inspire you in each moment, in each situation. And so many of us, I know, before we have to confront something, a difficult situation, we say a prayer. But what should that prayer really be? That prayer should be a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come into this moment, remind me of what Jesus has told us. Remind me what he did. Remind me who I am, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Remind me that peace, the peace of Christ, reigns in my life. And with that preparation, sisters and brothers, we can live this life in a joyful manner. We can live it with the peace of Christ. No Christian, no Catholic can say, I know it all. I got it all put together. Because when we do that, when we understand the gift of the Holy Spirit, when I say I've got it all together, I've put God in a box. And I say, I don't need you anymore, because I've learned everything I can learn from your Son. The Holy Spirit is alive and active and keeps the words of Jesus in front of us to motivate us and to keep us going. And that is why the Acts of the Apostles, the reading of the Acts of the Apostles today, is such an image for us. The first council of the church, the Council of Jerusalem, where the pagan Gentile converts were being told they had to follow Jewish practices in order to become Christian. And the apostles disagreed, but what they did is they went into a closed room together, they prayed, and they asked the Holy Spirit to guide them so that they could instruct these new converts on how to live the Christian life. And that is why Paul announces to the church of Antioch, it is our decision and the Holy Spirit. We have listened to the Holy Spirit, and you do not have to go through those practices first. My sisters and brothers, as we continue these last couple of weeks of Easter, let us renew ourselves in keeping the Word of God alive. Keeping the Word of God in front of us. Let us seek to live with God's presence in us and to find that peace that only He can give us. And let us rely more and more in our daily life as we live each step of the way to rely upon the Holy Spirit, who will guide us to all truth and who will remind us of everything Jesus has told us. Together now, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now, sisters and brothers, we bring to our merciful Father the prayers that we now present and those that are deep in our hearts.
That our holy church live in peace and unity, and so show the world what a gift is the peace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Hear our prayer.
For all those newly baptized this Easter season, that their new faith may stir in us the desire to share the good news with others, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all of us learn to be people of peace, and so to share the peace of Christ throughout this Jubilee year of mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the death, especially Jason Price, may attain the fullness of life within the endless festival of the kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our troops, that they may be protected and their efforts to secure peace and justice may meet success, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Dr. Paul Zanetti, Michael Hayes, Frank Garza Jr., Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, and Robert E. Hagelin Jr., and Cindy Schumann, and Tammy Carmody, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all our intentions, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, hear our prayers today. May your people always be faithful to the word of your Son, which has come to us through him. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Please join us in singing our offertory hymn found inside your order of worship. I give you a new commandment, where charity and love prevail.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May our prayers rise up to you, O Lord, together with the sacrificial offerings, so that purified by your graciousness, we may be conformed to the mysteries of your mighty love, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He never ceases to offer himself to us, but defends us and ever pleads our cause before you. He is the sacrificial victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly hosts with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and giving you thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity. Together with Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, the glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace, my Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
all of us here at the Cathedral. I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.